Those two girls.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. I know, today's the big day for the book release. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'm really, really excited. I'm very happy. So it's all looking good, all going well.
Well, we're happy we're finally in contact with you because we've tried twice in real life. If you recall,
embarrassing.
You may only remember one. The second time actually was at a Business Chicks event and you were going onto the main stage and we were just coming off because we'd been emceeing something on the second stage and we walked past you and I think we went something like, hi, and you went, hi guys, and then kept walking.
You were so focused. Respect.
But then
I think I was about to speak. When you're about to get up and speak and people try to talk to you, it's like, go away.
Yeah.
I got to focus on what I'm about to do.
We got that. And then the first time, Lee's has a better recollection of that than I do.
Well, I don't think you even saw us the first time. We were coming out of a hotel. I think we must have all been staying in the same hotel. And we noticed you had been ushered out like the secret celebrity exit so that people wouldn't harass you. But Sarah and I were just out on the main street exit. And I turned to see you and I said, oh, my God, there she is. And then Sarah's like, let's go up and say hi. And I said, no, that's why they get ushered to the celebrity side. Like, let her be.
So people like us stay away from them, but we've got you now.
Well, anything I can do to feel like, an actual real celebrity.
Incredible. Okay, where do we start?
Okay, well, I mean, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start, in the words of Maria Von Trapp. Talk to us about your new book, Happy and Other Ridiculous Aspirations.
Yeah, I guess the reason I called happiness a bit of a ridiculous aspiration, it's because I think, we always think things will make us happier, whether that thing is a job promotion, moving into a new place, getting married, when in fact those types of things don't make us as happy as what we would think. And instead of focusing on those things, we should focus our energy into doing the small little things every day, like sitting on the balcony with a cup of tea, spending time with our family, doing a kind deed for someone else.
Turiya, the timing of your book and the backstory, I suppose, to releasing the manuscript, the due dates, tell us a little bit about that, because there's no way on God's green earth you would have suspected what was about to hit Australia and the world.
Yeah, no way. Like I submitted it, I was supposed to submit it back in summer, and then the bushfires hit. My hometown practically, almost burnt down. And then I had a baby, and then coronavirus pandemic hit us all. And so I guess I really wondered whether or not, a book espousing the benefits of getting out in nature and catching up with your friends was going to be really that valid during this crisis that everyone's going through. But I think it actually crystallized it, because the year that we're facing right now, it's forced all of us to step up, reach out, adapt, reprioritize, take stock. And I think that's what a crisis does. It cuts through the facade. It cuts through all the beast bullshit. And I think it betters us. And amongst all of that grief and stress and anxiety, I really think that helps us tap in to what it means to be happy.
But there's a fine line, isn't there, Turiya, between bright siding and finding your happiness. So I read an article recently. It was in one of the weekend papers. I think it was by Angela Mollard, where she said her 16-year-old daughter pulled her up and said, Mum, you've got to stop bright-siding me. You've got to stop telling me to always be positive and things will get better and just let me sit in my negative emotions. I'm paraphrasing the article. Mm. But I thought, oh, God, I really relate to that. I think I do that with my kids all the time, whereas in the book you're saying it's okay to just have a bad day, call it for what it is, or a bad month.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, a lot of people are reaching out to me now saying, how do I stay positive? How do I stay motivated? My business is going down the gurgler. I can't get out. I'm in isolation. What do I do? And like, the reality is that's a really crap situation to be in, and there's no amount of spin that you can put on that to make yourself feel better. And I think the more we get in tune with how we're actually feeling, whether that's crap or down or disheartened or rejected, the more we tap into that and just allow ourselves to feel like that, as uncomfortable as it might be, the easier we'll find it to let those feelings go. And I think there's a real power in just acknowledging and accepting how we're feeling. I think, you know, there's a big emphasis on staying positive and being motivated. But I think just as we have days where we feel happy and excited and energetic, we have days where we feel crap and tired and stressed. And I don't think we can have one without the other.
I love how you said before that often is the really little things, the minutiae of life that can bring so much joy. And on that, I want to ask you about the opposite end of the spectrum, which is goal fatigue, something that you've spoken about, where we're running towards things like the career, motherhood, marriage, or finishing the book. And when we get there, what happens?
Yeah, and I mean, I love goals. I've always been a huge fan of goals. I've set myself really massive, audacious goals. But I think what we do is we set ourselves on a goal, we achieve it, and we go, cool, that's done, what's next? And we don't allow ourselves to revel in that sensation of having achieved something that's bloody amazing. So I really think there's a massive power in just relishing and savoring and reflecting in our success, and not being too quick to just tick it off our list and go, cool, that's done. What am I going to go get after next?
How do you celebrate then yourself when you, because you have reached so many incredible achievements? How do you take stock?
How do I celebrate? Look, I like to go out to dinner with my girlfriends, a couple of glasses of wine. You know, that's what we're doing. We're doing that this weekend to celebrate my book. I think catching up with friends and family in whatever format you want to do, whether that's going out for breakfast or catching up for a lunch, I think that's a really nice way to celebrate. I always, it's a bit strange, I always like to just drink, you know, a couple of large glasses of red wine. That's how I celebrate, because a lot of my goals are really focused around, you know, fitness goals, marathons and that type of thing. So that's what I like to do, and I like to just relax and take the pressure off. What about you guys? You guys seem like, you know, you've done a lot of cool things.
We often, because we work as a duo and we've built together, we often try and remind each other, can you believe we've done that? We ticked that off. We try. Yeah. And yet I must say that I know I'm guilty of just going, okay, what's next? So I don't think it's a lesson I've learned yet, Taria, if I'm honest. I don't think we take enough time.
No, and sometimes when the realization of achieving a goal hits me, it's in the worst possible moment, like on stage when I'm speaking with someone. Who was it? It was with, when we were doing another Business Chicks event, and it was with Sarah Jessica Parker, and it was sponsored by the Hit Network, and we were emceeing. And I remember you were talking to her, and all of a sudden I just spaced out totally, thinking, how the hell did we get here? I'm really happy in this moment, but you've got to stop thinking, having this internal monologue, Sarah. Pull yourself together. So I feel like I get those aha,
pinch me moments,
but at the totally wrong time.
I want to ask you about motherhood and happiness, because you are in the thick of it with your two little people. Yeah. I mean, they're only very little, right? Toddler and 7 months old.
Baby.
Yeah. So
crazy.
There's a lot of people listening right now who may be in the trenches of parenthood, and not everyone, Taria, finds that happiness, if I'm honest. It's a really hard time. No. So tell me, you're having these moments of extreme frustration.
Yeah, totally. And I think what was interesting when I was researching this book was that housework was like one of our least enjoyed tasks, but then childcare was the next least enjoyed task. And I found that really confronting, because a lot of people want kids, they choose to have kids, but then they might not necessarily enjoy every single aspect of that child. And so, you know, some days I feel like I'm the best mom in the world. I'm like, yes, I've got this. We've had a great day. And then the next day I'll look at my watch and I'll think, it's only 7 a.m. It's only 7 a.m. How the hell am I going to get through this whole day? What am I going to do to entertain these two little people? So I always describe parenthood as being contextual, in that some days it's delightful, it's magical, it's filled with fun little moments of picking up shells from the beach and feeling like you're doing a great job. And other days, the TV's on, my toddler's screaming, the Peppa Pig sultanas are out, and I'm just, yeah. You know.
I was going to ask you about that, because in my deep research before our chat, I scrolled through your Instagram, and there were a number of references to Peppa Pig sultanas, and I thought, this girl needs to talk. She needs to feel that there is a tribe of women who've been there through the sultana phase.
Can you tell me about that? I'm
the
missing.
Yogurt-coated sultanas, Lise.
Are they good or are they bad in your life?
Look, they're weird, but just one time my son was just screaming at me, Peppa, Peppa, Peppa. So I put Peppa Pig on. I tried to calm him down. Peppa, Peppa, Peppa. So I sent him to the room for a timeout. A lot of people don't do timeouts, so that's their prerogative. I use timeouts because I think it's good to set boundaries. And then I said, you can come out now. And he was crying. And I gave him a cuddle. And he said, Peppa, one more time. And he pointed into the kitchen. And he wanted his Peppa Pig sultanas, which are yogurt covered. And I felt really bad in that moment because I obviously didn't understand what he wanted. But he should also learn a lesson in the art of communication. Because to get what you want.
How old is he? Two.
He's two and a half. You don't just scream. You don't just scream at the person who's in, you know, who's in control of your life. So, no, I think we've both learned a lesson in that instance.
Well, so can he pronounce sultanas now? Or?
Yeah, that's a cool thing. He can. He says sultanas now. You know?
What a win.
Well, Mummy Pig taught him, didn't she?
Yes.
Well, Mummy Pit. So what's next for you? So you've ticked off a book. What's your next goal?
Yeah. And another book.
Yeah, you know what? I was supposed to do a marathon this year and there was a lot of cool things that I was looking forward to this year. I was supposed to do the Larry Pinter Trek to raise money for Interplast. And we can't do any of those things because of coronavirus. So this year has been the year of savoring for me, of enjoying spending time with my beautiful little boys, of being at home on the South Coast and just trying to enjoy this year. And I guess if I have to take a bit of time out from the real world, then I live in a pretty good place to do that as well.
Yeah, it is nice to take that time. I think a lot of people are finding the silver lining there in their lives. On another food note, I need to ask you about your choc mint slice.
And do you get the recipe?
And no, I don't have your recipe because I'm not part of your letter gang, but I want to know about both.
She is after this.
Tell us about your letter gang and the mysterious choc mint slice that we need in our lives.
Okay, so the letter gang, I write a letter to the people in my letter gang every single week. It's the favorite part of what I do because I love writing, but I think, you know, a whole book's sort of hard, whereas it's funner just writing like cool little insights from my life. So that's my letter gang. And the choc mint slice, look, you know how you've got that recipe that everyone begs you to make for like their baby shower or their hen's night or their barbecue? People always say, you know, can you please make that choc mint slice? And I go, yeah, I can do that for you, mate. It's really, really easy. It's like one cup of walnuts, one cup of dates, one cup of shredded coconut, whiz it all up in a food processor, melt two blocks of mint chocolate, pour it on the top, and that's it.
Oof. Wow. That's good. Yeah, Sarah has a recipe like that. It's your mango cashew chicken salad.
Oh, yeah. Mum got really shirty at me for sharing that recipe, though. She said it was a family secret.
You have to share it with me.
It's so good. There's nothing salad-y about it because it is drowning in mayonnaise, I will say.
That's false advertising. You know what I love about this Zoom call is, Chiria, you've got a massive swordfish on your wall and every time you go over close to it, it looks like its sword is actually piercing into your brain. What is the story about that swordfish? That's bloody
my
huge.
My husband is a fisherman and that was the first marlin that he caught. So it's a really weird place where I live. People love fishing. So then he made it into – I don't know what it's called.
Oh, like so hang on. That's actually, that's not a replica. It's been, what, taxidermied and stuffed?
Yeah, it's been, well, no. So the beak part, the part that's piercing my brain, as you so kindly pointed out, that's real, and like the fins on it are real, but they put the fish into a fish mold and they make like a cast of it. It's like a really, the guy who owns a fish molding business down here like does really well.
God, that's very specific. Wow. A fish molding business. Yeah. So every time Michael walks into the kitchen, he's like, yeah, dog, I caught that.
Yeah, and then because everyone asked him questions about it, he put up the photo of him with the marlin.
Oh.
So he's got a photo of himself with it.
Is Michael out fishing a lot during this pandemic? Yeah. Because, or are you guys really happy in your little cocoon family of four? Are you happy all the time with Michael? Just asking for a friend.
No. We have got, you know, like with everything, some days you feel good and I'm like, I'm really into my partner today. He's a great guy. And then the next day I'll get so obsessed that he likes to put the laundry in the washing machine. And then he doesn't hang it out and he's like, I've done the laundry. And I'm like, but you haven't.
Yeah.
Because it's been in the washing machine for days.
Yeah. I've had that fight with mine.
You haven't hung it out and then you haven't folded it.
It's the folding. It's the folding that's the issue, I think.
Even just like hang it out. Hang it out, mate, to dry.
Yeah.
Otherwise it just goes stale inside the washing machine. So, yeah, no. Like I said, some days we are really happy and into each other. And other days, I'm like, I've got to go for a run. I just need some time out from you.
Well, how many years have you two been together for now? Since you were babies.
Isn't that? Please tell me other people's relationships.
Oh, my God, 100%.
Oh, yeah, we were actually hoping you'd be honest because, in fact, this whole podcast is just to get to this issue. that give us the irrits.
Well, Sarah and I have both been married to our respective husbands for coming on 12 years. And the itch is real, I will tell you. Dane and I have the laundry argument all the time, except now it's come to the point, and maybe you and Michael can reach this, like I can be couple goals for you. He doesn't touch the laundry anymore. That's it. I've banned him. I actually would rather he never go down there ever again.
But how does he learn?
No, I don't need him to learn because no matter how hard he tries to learn, he still does a shit job. So, no, he doesn't go there anymore. He can do other stuff.
Okay, but now I just feel like now that you've just added that onto your mental load of things that you have to do every day. Because last night I said to Michael, look, you know what? I'm resigning from doing laundry. I'm going to leave it with you. You can look after all of it. I'm resigning.
Yeah,
but I like that too.
He left this morning to go to work and it's all in there. So my approach hasn't worked yet. So I don't know.
It's those little things when you voice your discontent with them and when things don't change, I think as women we're like, that's so disrespectful. Why won't they change? So for me, with my husband, although I did my block about it recently and he has been getting better, I don't know how he washes himself in the shower and cleans his teeth because there is soap from his, it's like he thwacks it on when he's washing his armpits and his chest. It's like he's chest beating like a silverback gorilla.
Why are you watching
because
him?
I can tell where the soap scum is. It goes everywhere.
He wants to know he's hairy.
No, I mean, he's got a nice amount of masculine hair. But I wouldn't say overly hairy. And with the toothpaste, I feel like he spits it into the sink
like a toddler.
And it just goes everywhere on the mirror. And I think, I've got to wipe, like, look up. Spit how you want, but then wipe it.
Turia, can you do a book about living with men who don't do chores well?
Well, I tell you what I do to make our household run smoother, and don't hate me, but every morning I like to do a gratitude practice because I think that's a really great way to start your day. Instead of focusing on what's not going right, I like to start it by focusing on the people in my life or the things that are happening that I'm really grateful for. So like this morning it was for my sons who were playing really well together on the carpet. I thought, that's really cute. That's really nice. It was for my cup of coffee. And then it was for my partner who made me the cup of coffee. I thought, well, that's really nice. He knows I like a coffee in the morning and he makes it for me. So that's really good.
Then you went to the washing machine.
No. And then it all fell apart. No, that is nice. That is something we should implement, Sarah, because we sound like very angry, angry women.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, we're great. Sure, we're grateful. Sure. But you just got to get things off your chest sometimes too.
That's true. Okay, gratitude journaling. So physically writing it down?
I know people say you have to write it down and then you have to list your wins at the end of the day, and then you should also like meditate on it, and then you should also like diffuse some really nice scent while you're doing it. I get all that, but I also think like you can just keep it simple.
Yeah.
So I just think of my things. But I try to make sure every morning they are different things. Otherwise you can get into the habit of being like, yeah, cool, I'm grateful for like, you know, my house and everything and whatever.
Okay.
So I like to think of different things, yeah.
Well, the book is, I think, what everyone needs. It's possibly an antidote to 2020. Congratulations on the release of it today, in spite of all the roadblocks that this year has presented. What else do you have for today? Do you have a gazillion interviews lined up?
Look, I've just got a couple of interviews lined up, but I'm telling you, I really, really enjoyed this interview with you two. You guys are funny.
Oh, thanks. And I like think you are energy. As well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we love
Jason,
you.
What was that? Is that Jason?
That's me, yeah.
Yeah, he's cool too. I mean, he's literally said nothing the whole time.
Yeah, so. He knows his place.
Yeah,
he
knows my place.
He's scared of us. All right, so next time we see you from a passing distance in the VIP area, I think we're safe to approach, Liz.
Are we?
Are we?
Look, I don't know. It depends who else is there. No.
Are you triaging us? Again? I'll take it.
Really nice to meet you ladies in real life.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a fun chat.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.